Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and bless. Amen.
Amen.
Paul writes, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. When I was in the military, one of the things I wanted to do was find a way to jump out of perfectly good airplanes to become a paratrooper. So I did. Went off to paratrooper school and took the course. Very grueling. But one of the major hurdles before the level lets you near an airplane is the mock jump. Now, mock jump means climbing up a 35-foot tower, made to look like the inside of an airplane with one little door. You hook yourself up to a wire and leap out in perfect formation. And the wire will carry you 50 yards away and deposit you just slightly less than if you jumped to begin with into the ground below. You had to do this perfectly or you were not allowed to pass and go forward on the course. When I took the course, it was January. In Edmonton, Alberta, temperature was minus 35 degrees. Doesn't make any difference if it's centigrade or Fahrenheit. And it was serious stuff. You had to get past this. You had to score 10 out of 10, or you'd be kicked off the course. But the directing staff had a little thing. They wanted to have a few games with the Padre first. So they deliberately failed me the first 5 times, regardless of how I did. And the problem was, is that I was 34 years old. The rest of the people doing this were in their mid to early 20s. And the more I had to do it, the tireder and tireder I get. You had to walk up these steps to the 35-foot level, hook yourself up, jump out, get hurtled down to the ground, unhook yourself, sprint back to the tower, and do it over and over again. And I got tired. And so I really started messing up big time. Finally, after I think the 20th attempt, I unhooked myself and said a little prayer. I said, "Oh Lord, if you want me to be the," delete this part, "chaplain for this bunch of," delete that part, "you are going to have to give me a little," delete this part, "help in this, or I just say," delete that part. Amen. It was not a silent prayer. In fact, I kind of shouted it. But God answered it. My next jump was perfect. Sergeant Maxwell, the guy who was jerking me around, said, "Padre, even if you didn't do it, I was going to pass you that one anyway, but that was the best one you ever did." I smiled, said nothing. I was being all things to all people. 5 years before that, I was a brand new pastor, sent to Bulls Assure, Manitoba, in the rural areas. And I went to visit Ewald Best. He had been the man that theoretically planted the church, the first elder and all that. But he'd been a recluse and homeless, and I went out to give him and his wife communion. Auf Deutsch, in German, because that's the only language God spoke when he talked to people here on earth. I read off a prepared text where I knew one word in three, but it seemed to be okay. Because then I had to sit and listen to him talk, going on and on, deploring the Catholics, the Jews, and the colors that were now invading his country. And all I could do was sit there, and in the end, just smile and say, "Isn't it unbelievable how powerful God's grace is that he can even love people like that?" Stimmt. I was being all things to all people. Friday, 2 days ago, I did a funeral wearing a black Wild Man t-shirt, quoting Steppenwolf lyrics in my sermon and cueing the revving of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle to mesh with my benediction. It went okay. I was being all things to all people. The epistle lesson has always been a very important passage in my life. It was so important, it's kind of like my strategy. And when I was a brand new pastor as well, my wife calligraphied it, and I had it in my office to remind me of what I should be. all things to all people. And this day, even every now and then, someone will tell me, you're the pastor? And I say, yeah, I'm undercover. But it's more than that. It's not subterfuge that Paul's really claiming. It's really just being authentically yourself, whoever you are, but striving to do that and be that to find common ground with people that might be woefully different, and boldly being a part of them all for the sake of the gospel. There's this Lutheran pastor in Texas who's also an author and a speaker I've gotten to know and enjoy. His name is Greg Finke. And he has this greeting that I really like. When he sees you, he'll say, hey, hi, how's God been messing with you? I mean, it's his signature phrase, so I really feel reluctant to use it unless I'm preaching on it. But I like this idea because it's really, really true. I think God does his best work in me and through me when he's been messing with me first. But I have to stop and consider things from a different perspective. When I'm not quite sure what to do or say next. When I feel really uncomfortable, even when I know that I'm doing the right thing. God's messing with me. And all I can do is look to him for direction. What's he up to? What's he want me to notice? What is he inviting me to be a part of? More often than not, it's just going to be some variation of that same thing, being all things to all people. Immersing myself into someone else's situation, even a situation that might be woefully different from where I am. To walk in those shoes for a while, even if they give me blisters. Paul says he does this so as to save some. But the bottom line is he's doing this because God's using him so that he can save all. So how has God been messing with you? If you look back these past few weeks, the lessons that we've been listening to show biblical examples galore of God messing with people. There's Samuel, young kid, can't get a decent night's sleep because he keeps saying, Samuel, why? He runs and bothers Eli until he says, speak, Lord, your servant listens, and he gives him a message to change his world. There's Jonah. God says out of the blue, go up and go preach the gospel so that your enemies can be saved. And he goes, no, I'll go the other direction. Gets swallowed by a fish, and then God has the fish spit him up and say, take two, now go to your enemies. All right, he does that. There's Nathaniel. His friend comes up and says, we think we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. They go, Nazareth? Nothing comes from Nazareth. Just come and see. And he comes to see Jesus. And Jesus says, no, there's a man without God. And he goes, how do you know me? And Jesus says, what? I saw you yesterday underneath that sycamore tree. And what is he saying? Whoa, you must be the Son of God. And you're like, what? But his life gets changed as well. And then there's Peter and Andrew, James and John. They're just plying their trade, minding their own business, fishermen. And Jesus walks up and goes, follow me and I'll let you fish for something better, for people. And they do. And their whole world changes because God's been messing with them. They have their own lives, their own goals, dreams, agendas. And he, out of the blue, completely alters them. You know that old saying, love it. Want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. He'll be messing. But here's the thing. God's messing with you because he loves you. And because he so loves the world. And because for some incomprehensible reason, he's decided he wants to show the world how much he loves it through people like you and me. He does what Jesus does. He comes to the other place to bring people home. And if we're following Jesus, we've got to be going where he goes, doing what he does. He doesn't just speak the message, he embodies it. John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Put on our skin, us, sinners. Neil Cole, this writer, says, that means that if we're going to tell other people about the gospel, we have to, he says, go sit in the smoking section. Go somewhere we don't want to be. It's not saying smoking, I don't know. But it says, that's where lost people are found, metaphorically. And if you just tell them, you got to put out your cigarette, hear what I have to say, they're just going to be sitting there thinking, when do I get another cigarette?
It's not going to say.
But the heart of the gospel message is that that's where God goes. He goes out to the places where people aren't coming there. That's what Jesus did. He comes and walks and talks, lives and dies just like us in every way except sitting. He became all things to all people in order to save, here's the big difference, save the whole world. Now, we're not expected to save the whole world. But just where might we find ourselves positioned to save some? In the gospel lesson today, God even seems to be messing with Jesus. He gets up early to pray. And that's really the thing. I've heard a lot of sermons about that up in the morning to pray. It's a really good thing. But no one really talks about what he prayed about. But did you catch the change when they found him? What he had learned in his conversation and prayer with his father? When the disciples come and get him, he says what? Hey, let's go on to the neighboring villages. Well, just think about that for a minute. They had just set up a base in Capernaum. Peter's house. They were guys, didn't know what to do, so he had to heal his mother-in-law so she could serve him when they died of starvation. But they start up at his house, and the whole village, the whole town is coming to him. They're lining up at the doors. Everybody is, this is the place to be. They're bringing their sick. They're bringing their possessed. Everyone is coming to hear. And what does he do? He tells his disciples, nah, we got to take the show on the road. We got to go out there where there are people who aren't coming here. I wonder if that might be a message to us in the 21st century. Nowadays, people consider that following Jesus is what? Best shown by gathering in buildings like this on a Sunday morning. That this is where followers of Jesus follow him too. And in some cases, that's all it entails in many lives. But what about the idea if Jesus is going out there to neighboring villages? And if we're following Jesus, shouldn't we be with him if he's left the building? If he's out there messing with people? People who won't even know they're being messed with until people like us who are being messed with clue them in about what being messed with is all about. If Jesus is out there, shouldn't we as followers be out there with him? That's the way Paul saw things. And so he was quite content to deliberately choose to go among those who were different. To be a servant among those completely free. To be a Jew among the Jews. To live as if the law was the overriding thing about them. To live as if there was no law. All for the sake of the gospel. Now, he wasn't doing this just because he was wishy-washy or wanted to be a chameleon. Any reading of Paul says that is not his personality profile. And I'll bet there were many, many times where he had doubts, faced criticism, maybe even an awkward moment or two where he didn't quite fit in as much as he tried. But you know what that means. Those are just the moments that God was messing with. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Who might that be in your life? If Jesus were to walk right up to you and ask you to follow him, where do you think he'd lead you? What are the neighboring villages in your life that you need to visit? Now, I know I've said this time and time again, that going out and living the gospel, embodying it, should be something free and easy. Part of what you do almost without thinking, that it's not making a sale of God or a church. But it's actually living in such a way where others ask you a question. It's something that should be natural, part of what you're already doing. And very well, the directing people are probably going to be your family and friends, the people at school, workplace, maybe your neighbors. Now, this might sound like I'm contradicting that. I'm saying go to places where you feel awkward and uncomfortable deliberately, but it's not really a contradiction, more an expansion when it's there before you. If you're following Jesus and it's easy, enjoyable, and something you do without thinking, great. That is the way it should be. But those times when it isn't, when it's difficult, when you're worried more about what other people might think about where you are, don't just dismiss it out of hand. It might just be God nudging you to a particular person or group, to relate to them, to him or her in such a way where the gospel begins to take its roots deep in their hearts. Just think about it. Pray about it. Maybe if you'll never, ever be all things to all people, you might find yourself every now and then being something to someone so that somebody gets saved. Which I think is a pretty good thing to be. And that's why, don't take this wrong, I hope God messes with you. Messes with you real good. Now may the peace of God, passes all understanding.